Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talk about the Holy Ghost fire.
Because we have a God that is worthy of all of our praise. Praise the Lord. Blessing to each and every one of you, God's children. I am just happy and excited to welcome you to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father, and, oh yes, His precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, right here on Fire, the gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unequivocally, and unapologetically declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one, beloved, with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He is our only hope and light for this lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in. Blessings, blessings. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can become that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ. Because God is not a respected person, y'all. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with Him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for our spiritual uplift and nourishment from the 16th division of Psalms, where we read King David is praising God for that He is to him according to all that God has done for him. Many times we find ourselves making prominent and even great declarations and promises in God's name and to God. But are we really and sincerely following through on our proclamation? Do we make it a point to do what we say and not so much say what we do? We will be embracing for your spiritual consideration the thought, I say, I will. My special guest is here talking about a gospel group that's represented by their leader, man of God, Escalera LaSure, from the gospel group. I'm talking about traditional, old school, heart pumping, foot stomping, hand clapping gospel music group, the Christian Brothers is here. We're going to hear his testimony. Y'all know we're going to play his music and get our praise on, get our worship on, hand clap, foot stomping. This probably going to turn into a quartet showcase because I'm just feeling it right about now. So listen, you got time. You can go ahead and call family members. You can go ahead and call friends, coworkers, everyone that you think could use some real good spiritual nutrition, uplift, and we will get our Holy Ghost praise on. Yes, indeed. We've already had prayer, and we are so grateful, Holy Spirit God, that you lead, guide, cover us, comfort us, and most of all, we are so grateful that you're about to light the fuse that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire.
Treasure, there's a planet by the water.
nothing else, you better make sure that you are anchored. I'm talking about on the solid rock, which is Jesus, because you best believe there are going to be those winds that's going to blow. Those storms are going to come. You're going to have those folks that just have a commitment, it seemed like, to just try to just bring you down, scandalize your name, throw stumbling blocks all in your way. So take the advice of Gospel Group God's Posse and make sure that you stay anchored. We're going to do this quartet showcase on Fire, 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 the Gospel Experience. And we are certainly blessed to have a veteran gospel group here represented by their gospel leader, man of God in Siluria. LaSure Christian Brothers were prayerfully founded in 1978 by Reverend David LaSure, with the vision to sing and spread the message of the gospel with his sons. His vision continues to be fulfilled, with the group now having traveled throughout the United States and the music now being played all around the world. We have had the pleasure of sharing the stage with many great gospel artists that include Pastor Shirley Caesar, the Mighty Crowds of Joy, Lee Williams and the Canton Spirituals, and many more. They have also won national awards, including the American Gospel Quartet Convention New Artist Award, along with the Hard to Acquire Perfect Score in the New Artist Showcase. They've received various hometown awards in addition to winning first place in the Luther Barnes Fall Classic. Their recording credits include several albums like Dripping and Dropping, Heal the Land, All the Way, Dear Lord, and Restoration. Also singles such as Tell Heaven, Meeting, Heal the Land, and Heavy Load. They are currently under the umbrella of Millennial Sound Records, where we are consistently releasing new music. Their group currently consists of Reverend Escalera LaSure and Reverend Kelvin LaSure, who were original members, LSM, a more than 20-year member, and Mike Pearson Sr., and Jerome Adams, our newest members. They would like to thank all of you who have supported them over the years, including every radio announcer, promoter, church, retailers, customers, prayer warriors, family members, and friends. That's everybody, y'all. We also want to send a special thanks to Millennial Sound Records for all that they do. Most of all, they want to thank God for their longevity and staying power. And as long as he gives them strength, I believe they will continue to sing songs to glorify his holy, precious, and wonderful name. So without any further ado, my special guest, Christian Brothers, represented by their leader, Reverend Escalera LaSure, is here on this Fire Gospel Quartet Showcase to bless each and everybody here, Lord Jesus. How you like that? Amen. Amen. Bless your good brother, LaSure. Welcome to Fire the Gospel Experience.
Hey, man, Brother Brian, first of all, we just thank the Lord for the day that he has made. We've chosen to rejoice, and we've chosen to be glad in it, man. And we thank the Lord for this opportunity of us having this chance to be heard on your platform, someone I've never seen before. But just by us talking in my heart and in my spirit, I know that I have another newfound brother in the fellowship.
Yes,
and I'm thankful to God for just being heard today, man. Thank you so much.
Amen. I'm just happy to be in the company of somebody that is so gifted and so committed to Jesus, that you've been singing God's praises on stage, and I believe probably in your prayer closet too. I don't think it's just a public thing with you, good brother. I believe you just love God, just like that.
Well, hey man, I don't have a Sunday religion. I have a Monday through Sunday religion. Or not even a religion, it's a relationship. Religion is something that we created. My relationship is something that I have with God, man. And it goes from Monday to Sunday, from Sunday to Monday to Saturday throughout the week. It just don't go when we're on the stage singing or whenever we're speaking and preaching. Man, I love him Monday through Sunday because he's been just that good to me. He's been just that awesome to me. He's brought me through so much. If I start telling you what all he brought me through, man, we just wouldn't have enough time. But I just thank him for who he is in my life and for what he's done for me, you know. And man, we're excited about the Lord, man. And I'm not not singing excited. So some folks just get excited when they sing or they get excited when they preach. I'm excited, man, because I realize that every day above every ground day. Is a day that he's kept me and he's blessed me. I've seen him. Listen, man, let me tell you something, man. Because I'm about to get stirred up. I've seen him do so great things, man. I got a mother that's 85 years old. The last 2 years, God has delivered her from lung cancer. You didn't hear me.
Yes, I did.
I got my elder brother who had 14 numbers in the penal system, drunk out on crack for over 30 years, and he's been clean for the last 12 or 13 years. Living for the Lord, man. Y'all didn't hear me. I didn't say he's just living. I said he's living for the Lord. I got a brother, the guy you talk about, my brother Kevin LeSure, who is the guitarist for the group. He and I are the only two original members of the group. He's a guitarist for the group. He had an aneurysm one night at church after finished playing. And when when the doctor said that he wasn't going to be able to see out of his eye, he would never play again. Well, he's played on the last five albums that the Christian Brothers have released, and he's sang and he's living for the Lord, man. I could tell folks so much about how good God is, you know. And I thank him for the gift of music, man. I thank him most importantly for the gift of ministry.
Yes, Lord.
Brother Ron, he's been so good, man. I was just telling a friend of mine, a preacher pastor friend, called me yesterday. He said, "Hey, man," he said, "how long are you and Pam?" I'm 59 years old, and if you saw me, I know I wouldn't look like it, but I'm 59. And my girlfriend, we've been together since we were about 24 years old. Over half my life been spent with this girl,
that's beautiful.
Man.
That's beautiful.
And I thank the Lord for her, man. They said, "What turned your head?" I said, "What turned my head is that she's the neck." Uh-oh. And I'm the head, but she the neck. Yes, sir. She the neck. Yeah, she the neck. You know, that turns my head, you know. But I thank God for her, man, because she's a godly woman, man. When I want to get out of pocket, man, that she got enough in her, and that she got enough word in her to call those things out, man, and to challenge me to not just be a better husband, a better father, but just a better Christian, man. And I'm thankful, man, for her. And she's such a dynamic. People tell me, "Hey, man, you sing." I mean, like, man, she is such a dynamic, anointed singer, man. It's, you know, man, it's a lot of folks, man, that are gifted because the Bible says gifts come without repentance. So there's a lot of folks, man, that are singing, they're preaching, they're teaching, they're doing a lot of things because they're gifted, but they're not like it was when the prophet went to Jesse's house and put his oil because he wanted to pour some oil on somebody. And he saw all of Jesse's other sons. He said, "No, that's not them." But here come a little bitty old scroungy little guy named David. He didn't pour gift on it. He poured oil on it. He anointed him. And I just want to tell all the other singers, man, because the Christian Brothers is singing now 43 years. If you want to have longevity, don't count on just your singing and your musicianship. There's a couple things you need to do. Number one is let Jesus be the marquee, because he said if he be lifted up, that he'll draw men. And then go get some oil poured on you. Go get some oil, man. Don't operate in yourself. Get some oil, man. so that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, so that when you stand before folk, whether they're smiling or whether they're not smiling, man, that you'll say something or sing a song, man, that would destroy a yoke in somebody, man, something that would kill something in somebody, you know. I had the pleasure of last Saturday, before I get out to be up at 6 o'clock to go to work, and last Saturday around 2 o'clock
Me
in
too.
The morning, somebody called my cell phone. So usually at that time I think that it may be an emergency. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, guy called my cell phone. Never met this man, never seen him or heard of him in my life. On my phone at 2 in the morning, crying. I said, "Sir, how can I help you?" He said, "I just wanted you to know I've been online listening to the Christian Brother music, and it's blessing my life."
Mm-hmm.
Brother Ron, that's what excites me about the power of music, man.
Yeah.
The power of words and song. We have to be careful with these words and these songs. They got to mean something that direct folk to Christ.
Mm.
Not direct them to the ice cream and all of that. That stuff is good in its place. But the song ought to direct them to Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Amen. You preaching, Doc. You preaching. Listen, man, you have gotten so much out of you. I'm glad that you was able to get it out. But for the sake of us just appreciating more your walk with Christ, before we get into who you were as a minister, who you were as this awesome gospel artist and this wonderful gospel quartet of godly men, the Christian Brothers, tell us about what your life was like when you made the decision that, hey, look, I have done some things and I want to give my life to Christ, because what I'm getting is not giving my soul satisfaction. Can you take us back to that time?
Well, I could tell you exactly. It was one Tuesday. It was one Tuesday, man. I was frustrated. I was disenfranchised. I was mad. I was angry. I was sad. And I couldn't figure out. Now let me tell you, because my father was a pastor and a preacher. And so I was raised up in the church. Now I'm about to mess some of y'all up in a minute. I know I am. And you might say, you know, you shouldn't say this stuff, but I'm going to tell you the truth about it.
Say it.
I was going to church and raised up in church and saw all this church stuff. And what made it so bad, because I was 23 years old, but y'all didn't hit me when let me say, my father was a pastor, a preacher. And I was 23 years old when I was introduced to who Christ was. Y'all didn't hear me, but that's all right.
Yes, we did.
All right, because some of you understand what I just said to you. I was raised in a church that went to, in a house that went to church every Sunday. You had to go to church, or you couldn't go play football on a Sunday afternoon. You had to go to church. But I was 23 years old when I was introduced to Christ. And I've been running for him and living for him ever since. I've had some up days and I've had some down days. But I love him because he loved me when I was at my worst. And he didn't abandon me. I have friends that have abandoned me, family that have abandoned me. But he never abandoned me. In fact, what he did was he spoke to me and he encouraged me. And he let me know, man, that if he was for me, then he was more than the world against me. And then as I began to grow in him and study and put scripture in my life, walk those scriptures out, man, he began to let me know, man, that you can do this, you know. And I just,
yes,
I don't know who I'm
yes.
talking to, but I just want to encourage you, let you know, it doesn't matter how far you've gone down in life, doesn't matter what you've done in life, don't matter how bad you think you've been, God has need of you.
Tell it, brother. Tell it, brother.
He has need of you. And if truth be told, and if somebody, if other folks were out there in the social media land that were listening to this blog, they would tell you that he turned it around for them. He changed them, and he turned it around for them.
Amen. I'm a witness. Let me share this with you, man of God.
That's how good he's been to me.
Let me share this with you, man of God, because we know that the majority of our churches are generally overpopulated with women. It's 70 and depending on where you go, 80%. And I have had such a tremendous response from gospel artists, women ministers, preachers that have come onto this broadcast, just man in droves. And for whatever reason, I'm wondering, where's Adam? I'm wondering, where are the men? Because it seems like, man, we slow. It takes an illness. It takes an accident. It takes a devastation, a potential incarceration before we finally start looking to help outside of ourselves. Can you help us explain and then say a word of encouragement to the men? Why is it that we wait? Is it just the way that we grew up? Is it just us falling for the tricks of the devil, that church is a female thing? Help us understand. Help us break through. We're trying to reach brothers because it's not a weak thing to be a Christian. And that's another lie from the devil. We need to understand, good brother, how can we reach our men so that they can have this beautiful relationship with God that you and I have?
Well, I think, number one, men need to know how important they are in the kingdom to God, is because he made a man the head. He didn't make you the tail. He made you the head. And one thing I don't tear down women to build up men. And one of the problems is because we've allowed society, because we're not listening to what the Word of God says, and we become more political, and we become more socialist and not word-driven. And then now we've allowed that stuff to creep into the church, and the church has gotten passive on dealing with certain things. And men have allowed themselves to be reduced in their roles. And now that we have others that have allowed them to not be in their role, the enemy has always done what he's done. And that's to try to hoodwink and trick the believer into believing the lie that God don't need you, God can't use you, God don't want you. There's nobody in the Bible, even if you research all of his disciples, just about every one of his disciples was folk that were hated. People didn't like him. Mm-hmm. Matthew was a tax collector. They couldn't stand him. Peter cussed you out and cut you. So they all had something that was going on. I think the problem is that in my era, when we grew up, my father took us to church. And then we had that era where, well, we call it the crack baby era, where the parents left the body of Christ, and they left and they began to smoke crack and whatever. And the children were reared up without a parent, without foundation, without discipline. So a lot of these young men that's out here now, they're not out here doing and living righteous because they want to. They're living righteous because they didn't have no structure. They didn't have nobody to teach them, to show them what it was to be a man. That young women, to teach them how to stay chaste, because their mother was trying to be their friend. And oftentimes, mom and daddy were nowhere to be found. I thank God that I had a mother and a father that were rooted in the body of Christ, man. And my father and my mama, they weren't perfect, but my father taught us how to be men. You know, he wasn't always right about everything, but the foundation part of it, I got it. You know what I'm saying? I got it. And I think that if when you don't know who you are, then you'll assimilate like the mockingbird. The mockingbird, he sits in a tree and he mocks everything that comes by. He don't have his own son, so he mocks the other son. So you have a lot of men trying to figure out how it is to be a man by just actually going out and looking at other men. And then I would say the personification that we have in our community now is really not the proper personification what a man really is. When I grew up, all you saw in the barbershop was men, and they were in there getting their son's hair cut because they wanted us to represent them and look like their daddy. But then when the men got out of church and left their home, then you had the daughters taking the sons to get their hair cut. So they took him to get a haircut not to look manly, but took him to get a haircut to make him look cute. Daddy took us because they wanted us to look like a man, look like him. So if we're going to really deal with it, we got to deal with it from the fact. But you know, because we've been taught to accept anything. Our daughters and I have been taught to accept anything. Before Adam got a woman, he had fellowship with God. That's what the Bible says in the Word of God in Genesis, that the Bible says that Adam and God used to walk in the cool of the evening fellowshipping.
Yes,
and then Adam had to get a job. He gave Adam a job. He told him, you name everything in the garden, you name it. And then now here we go right here. And then before he still even got the woman, he made sure that he was capable of doing the job, because he looked around and he said, okay, now you've done what I asked you to do. You've shown that you've been responsible. We've worshiped together. Now let me, it's not good for you to be alone. So let me put you to sleep, take your rib, and give you a woman. And I think men, before you go looking to get a wife, what you need to do is get a relationship with God, so He can identify who you are, and that you can learn how to love yourself. Because if you can't love you, then you won't be able to properly love nobody else. And then it'll help you to be able to know what your responsibilities are as a man. And then when He does send you your Eve, Adam, you'll know how to love her properly, you know. And we have to get back to those fundamental truths, man, of teaching this stuff, man, and letting our men know that they are important. He didn't give you. He said that the woman would be under the subjection of her husband all the day of her life. That's his authority. That's not for you to belittle her. That's not for you to whoop on her, hit on her, and disrespect her. That just means that God has an order. Even in the triune God, there's an order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even in our homes, there's an order. The husband, the wife, the children. But God, the husband, the wife, and the children. That's the order that God put in place. The children put it in place. So don't y'all start talking about what they call us. What do they call us when we are? Male chauvinistic. I'm not chauvinistic, but I just know who I am in the Lord, and I know through scripture what my responsibilities are as a man.
Okay.
So what am I telling you? Look here, man. I know the world has told you that you nothing. The system says you nothing because they kill us in the droves and nothing is done. We get no justice. The system said do y'all know that at one time they said a black man couldn't quarterback a football team because it wasn't intelligent enough? They wouldn't let them in the Navy because they said that their eyes were bad and they couldn't see and they weren't intelligent enough to work or to be in the Navy. Listen here, man. Listen, you are so important that even before you knew what was going on in your mama womb, God had conceived and anointed and appointed you for a task in your life. While you were yet in your mama womb, He knew who you were in your mama's womb. Don't be tricked by the enemy to believe that God can't use you. He can use you, but you have to allow yourself to be you.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Amen.
I'm about to get happy, man. I'm about to get happy.
That's all right,
brother.
All you doing,
Adam,
is
we need you. Adam, we need you. We need you, Adam. Your children need you. Your wife needs you. Your family needs you, Adam. Your community needs you. Your church needs you. But most importantly, your God needs you, Adam.
Amen. Amen. And what they need to understand, Brother LaSure, is they got to drop off that heavy load and let God take the weight, because He's able. He's able to do it. Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
Heavy load.
I got rid of mine.
Heavy. got rid of mine.
Yeah, below.
Listen here, I wanna sing above here. Any man in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are new. Cast your cares upon them, your burdens too. I'm a living witness. He will give you the strength to get through.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
In the land, God has given us the answer to the problem. Listen, and the people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray.
See my face.
Turn from
the wicked ways.
I will hear from heaven, forgive them all that sin. And I will hear.
We need you.
And we rehearsed and we rehearsed and kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and kept rehearsing, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. till the Lord began to increase us in our gifting. And we thank the Lord for it. And I just say to all the younger artists, man, that haven't, that really have it in their heart to sing gospel music, period. Before you start singing gospel music, you ought to have the gospel hidden in your heart. Live a lifestyle that's conducive to what you're singing about or what you're preaching about. If you're going to sing for Jesus, you ought to live for Jesus. You ought to conduct yourself Amen. Like you're a believer in him. And the one thing that we've lost, it seems at times, is the integrity of the music by the way we live. And I would just really believe, man, that in this particular hour, after all that we've been through, man, we have to get back to that back to that place in the Lord, man, return back to our first love, man, that people will see us loving Christ. I believe that when we step on stage, man, I don't believe I have to give you a show, I just believe, man, that if we lift Jesus, that folk just like me gonna be drawn unto him. And I thank the Lord. He's been kind. He's been merciful to the Christian brothers, man. After 43 years of, wow. I know I heard you get a roll call. We have another gentleman been with us for a little while named James Hutchison. Both of these guys are preachers, man. And it's been camaraderie, man. And I was talking to Harvey Watkins of the Cadence one day, and he shared something. You know, I asked him, I said, hey, man, why do you think so much go on with the quartets or with gospel music? He said, because when we get in our vehicles, ain't no love. When we get in the backstage, ain't no love in the dressing room. But we sing good on stage. He said, I don't think Jesus want us to love him when we on stage. I think he want us to love him when we backstage, when we in our cars, when we in rehearsal. And I concur.
Yeah.
We got to get back to loving. He said, well, it's with love and kindness have I drawn thee, man. And we got to get back to not shouting folk, man, but drawing folk, man, to Christ, man, so that they can see Christ through us, man, that we can be a witness and that we can, people can see him through us, man, but not just how we thinking about how we living our life, man. The greatest, I read in this book, Frank Assisi's quote, but he say, we ought to not just preach the gospel, but people ought to see us living the gospel.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
And
that's
I concur.
And you're so correct. I concur and I agree with that so wholeheartedly. So, man of God, I know y'all have heard you speaking about the state of gospel artists, and that's real talk. What about the state of the church, man? What is it that the body of Christ needs to put more focused attention on in these last and evil days that we're living in?
Holiness. Just plain and simple. Holiness. Righteousness. We need to incline our ear back to heaven. And holiness and righteousness is not a denominational thing. It's what God requires.
Right.
Be ye holy, for I am holy. And the church has been in a backslidden state, and we need to return. He said, return unto me, O ye backsliders, for I'm married unto you. And when the church needs to repent and come back to Christ, because we've allowed so many things to go on that wasn't of God, trying to build marquee palatial castles for churches. And that's all good. But even in the book of Matthew, the Jewish folk have built, they had built a church. And Jesus come by there and told them, okay, that building is beautiful, but it ain't fit for inhabitation. So sometimes, man, we're so busy, man, doing other stuff, man, that the main focus of the church should be to disciple folk and to lead them to Christ. But we're busy, got folks singing in choirs, got folk ushering and doing all kinds of things, man, in this hour, man, and we're not operating in a sense of urgency, man. sometimes it comes to a place, man, you got to get your perspective right, man, and reprioritize things. And this hour we in, man, we've never seen this many people die, man, the way we've seen them, that's in the body and outside the body, man. That at this point, the church should be in a sense of urgency of getting folk to the cross, man, getting them to the feet of Jesus, man, opposed to all the other stuff. And I'm not knocking that stuff, but man, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me, you know, and not drawing all, using all the trickery, man, but just use Jesus.
Come on. Yes, sir. Amen. I agree with that. I agree. That is so powerful. One of the things that I've noticed, and I began to notice this early in my Christian walk, is the devil wants us to feel embarrassed and awkward about our sanctification, about our separation from the ways of the world. See, we have to understand that he told us that we are of the world. That means we're not trying to separate ourselves as if we're better than. We're just better off, as I've heard somebody say. We can't
there
forget
it is.
Where we came from.
There it
we
is.
Can't forget where we, yeah, we can't forget where we came from, because, see, it was grace that moved in our hearts, and we have to have that same spirit of grace when we are out there sharing our testimony about Jesus Christ to other people. We can't put ourselves
Amen.
In an elevated position as if we are above anybody else. We are all sinners saved by grace, and we're just trying to reach out.
Man.
But look, I don't want somebody to be on their way, taking their last breath, and realize that they need Jesus, and then look at me on their deathbed and say, "Well, why didn't you tell me about Jesus while I still had time?" Amen.
I agree, man. Listen. I have compassion for the weed smoker because I smoked enough of it, the drinker.
Me
I wasn't
too.
A big
Me
drinker,
too.
But I drank. I was an avid gambler. So I have compassion for them, because just like he saved me, he can save them. Just like he turned my life around and changed my life, he can change their life. We ought
Amen.
Not be in a position of becoming stuck up. And because when it's all said and done, it took the blood of Jesus to get us all in a position where we could go to heaven, because we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. We all were sinners, and we've all have done enough for God to have killed us and sent us to hell. There's none righteous, no, not one.
He said if we
have no sin, then he said that then you a liar. You a liar.
And the
you
truth
know,
ain't in you.
So we done enough, man, to go to hell. But thanks be unto God that he sent Jesus that paid the penalty. He didn't do what we did, but he became what we was. So he took what we had coming so we can go where he went. You know, so he took the whole spiel for us. So ain't nobody got no reason walking around with acting sadistic with their nose up in the air, act like they, because the Bible said, for all have sinned.
Amen.
All.
That's right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you ain't got no business talking about the crack addict or the weed smoker, because you a liar. You ain't got no business talking about the alcoholic, because you a whoremonger. So it's all unrighteousness is sin. So we don't have no business sitting around pointing our fingers at nobody. Because if the truth be told, if he dealt with us according to what we done and what he's not letting get exposed, man, we all be embarrassed.
We'd be in trouble, Doc. Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
well,
we all be embarrassed.
That is so true. So if God can take the stripes and the humiliation and the torture and the crucifixion for my sake, then it's okay for me to take the separation and the smart comments and the backbiting and all the name that they will call us, because the Bible has already declared that those of us that will live righteous will suffer persecution. And none of us
Man,
will suffer
look
persecution
here.
Like the Christians in the Bible days, they were being tortured. They were being thrown to lions. The Bible declares that they were being rolled down barrels that had spikes in them. The Bible declares that they were being whipped to death. The Bible declares that the Christians in the days of Christ, when they accepted Christ, they knew that this was potentially a death sentence by accepting this faith. When we come to Christ, the only thing we're worried about is people. When we come to Christ, the only thing we're worried about is people talking about us. So we have to just grow to accept who we are in Christ and be willing to accept whatever comes for his glory, because he already declared, man of God, he said, if you suffer with me, guess what? You're going to reign with me. So we have to understand he'll see us through any suffering that we go through. He'll be right there with us in a very intimate way like never before. He said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. I'm that witness, man of God. I am that witness. So, man of God, listen, why don't you share with us your last and final thoughts that you would like to impart in our spirits? And then I'm going to ask you to share all of information on how the Christian Brothers can be reached for booking so that you can go to somebody's event and turn that bad boy out for Jesus. And then your social media contact, if you don't want my listeners to continue to follow you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you got going on. And, of course, where your music can be downloaded so that your group can receive the rewards of your hard work.
Well, I just want you to know that if you want to get in contact with the Christian Brothers, first of all our music are on all the streams. You know, everywhere where they stream the music, on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all those places right there, you can get our music anywhere. You can book the Christian Brothers by going to Esquilera, Esquilaira 62@gmail.com. You can contact us through that means of that, 216-394-9697, or you can even contact us through Millennial Sound Records, which is our awesome record company, man. They've been so good to us. Millennial Sound Records. You can contact us through them as well. Let me give you some. And we just got with a booking company, and that's doing an awesome job, man. Booking the group. You can reach Millennial Sound at 217-330-7549. If you want to reach the Christian Brother, that's our booking agency, where you can reach us through them, and as well through our other booking agency, you can reach them through the Millennial Sound Record. They can transfer you right over to our actual booker, man. And what I would just, as we get ready to come to end, what I would want to say is in First Peter, Brother Jefferson, in First Peter, it says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And I know we've gone through a lot over these last 2 years, seeing people pass away, seeing people lose their homes. Many have lost their jobs, their source of income, their vehicles and whatnot. And I know it's been difficult. And sometimes it just sometimes you're asking God, where are you? But I hear him telling us, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And Amen. And what concerns you concerns the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, endure hardness like a good soldier. Hang in there. So what I want to tell you,
that's right.
Hang in there. Hang in there, because it's going to pay off after a while. God said it, and he meant just what he said. If you take the, if you want to take some scriptural, textual context to that, is that you just follow Job. Job lost everything. He was sick. He lost his family. He lost his money. He lost his cattle. He had a foolish wife. He even cursed the day that he was born. God had to check him and say, hey, man, he said, I understand you. So he said, but where were you at when I hung the moon? Where were you at? In other words, Job, I hear what you're saying, but let me straighten you out. So I just want to tell somebody that's listening to me, God has a plan for you. He's going to work it out in his due season. And one thing God doesn't do, he doesn't bless us, and he doesn't move while we kicking and screaming and having tantrums. We have to learn how to fall in his arm and trust him. And he'll do it for you.
He'll do it. And when God blesses us, guess what? he won't take it back. He won't regret it either, because he is wooing us with his goodness. But he requires obedience.
Yes.
He requires sanctification and holiness on our part. How are we going to represent
That's
a God
right.
if we are not living the way God instructs us to? Amen. He wants to be
That'll
reflections. He wants us to be reflections and mirrors of who he is. He created us in his image, but he has to fill us with his spirit and his word so that we can be the
Come
full combination
up.
Of who God is. Amen, man of God.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%.
You're blessed, sir. I'm looking forward to you coming back with your members of your group so that you all could just keep us uplifted and motivated. I'm praying that God will continue to bless you with another 40-something years of dedicated
bless
service,
you.
Praise, and glory to God. So keep doing what you're doing. If there's anything I can do, I want you to know I'm here for you. I'm not just praying for you. But please contact me if there's anything that you think I can
I
do
will,
to
man.
Help forward your ministry. Amen. Please do that.
Amen. Bless you, sir. And you likewise. And likewise to you. Sir.
Amen. Man of God, Escalera LaSure of the legendary group, the Christian Brothers, was right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. And don't y'all worry. They'll be back. They'll be back. It just blesses my heart and soul when the men of God come in with word, I mean with impactful words of encouragement. You can just feel their spirit all in the room because they are sincere about what they're doing. They have a dedication to God where they just said, Lord, listen, we just want to thank you, thank you. Can't thank you enough, but that don't mean we ain't going to try. Thank you.
Because you've been good to me. Lord, I thank you. 'Cause you saved me. Lord, I
thank you.
'Cause you've been
so good to me.
When I look back over my life,
Lord, I thank you.
I have to tell
you've
you thank you.
You've
been my protector.
You've
been
What's going on, family? What's going on? This is Jerry Wislaw Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland, and you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
Divine Nature is in the house doing this quartet showcase on fire.
the gospel experience. To do is just pray and then leave it there. Don't even worry about it no more. Act like it's already done and going to get your praise on. Sounds of divine nature on this fire gospel experience, giving us some very good sound spiritual advice. Pray and don't worry. Don't do it. Amen. This is this beautiful time where you gifted authors, you people that speak words of eloquence, words of admiration, words of encouragement, instruction, and wisdom for this word of inspiration. My special guest, woman of God, she is a motivated, inspirational speaker that has a profound and wonderful testimony. She is an author as well, coming straight out of the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I am excited and happy to have this woman of God with us. She has authored a wonderful book that I'm encouraging everyone to get for their library. We'll be talking about it after she shares her inspirational word. She is the author of Broken, Shattered, Yet Chosen, none other than Woman of God. Monique E. Russell is here to bless her with some wonderful inspiration on Word Up on Fire, the Gospel Experience. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you, woman of God. Thank you for joining us on this Fire Gospel Experience. Woman of God, Monique E. Russell, how are you, my dear sister?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me, Pastor Ron. How are you today?
Amen. I'm doing well, my dear sister. You know, it's my pleasure to have you anointed and God-gifted people coming in and doing what you're doing for this platform to praise our God, because he is certainly worthy. I'm going to pass you the microphone and the platform and step back and just bathe in these wonderful words that you're about to shower down on us. Help yourself, sister. Help yourself.
Well, welcome, beautiful people. I'm glad that I have an opportunity to come before you all just to give you a few words of encouragement. Today, exactly, I had to encourage myself, just as David said, encourage yourself in the Lord. Many times or oftentimes we want things to go our way. So I planned some home improvements for today. And things didn't go my way at all. I was very disappointed. However, God sent the right individual just to encourage my heart today. And I hope that I have been sent by God today to encourage you as well. So here's the advice that he gave me. First, he said, how big is your faith? And that alone just stirred my spirit up. Because he had asked me a few questions, and he saw it in my eyes that I was in despair. And when he asked me that question, how big is your faith, I knew it was God tapping into my spirituality. And I'm going to say it because I had prayed the end of the year, God, I want you to enlarge my capacity. Just as Jabez prayed, enlarge my territory, enlarge my capacity to think, enlarge my capacity of influence, enlarge my income, Father. And in order for us to be enlarged, you have to go through some tests. And today was truly a test for me. So whatever you may be going through today, I am going to encourage you and ask you the same question. How big is your faith? God said all we need is a faith smaller as a mustard seed. And if you don't know what a mustard seed is, please look it up or either purchase one. It's just that small. So if you have a little bit of faith for a big God that we serve, that's more than enough. It's a song that says, God, you are more than enough. You're more than enough than I can ever imagine or think that you are. So God is telling you today, how big is your faith? And I'm going to say something, and I hope that it resonates with your spirit as well, because God has blessed me so radical in different ways and different opportunities. But the thing about God, he doesn't maneuver the same way each time. So don't expect God to be the same God that he was, or should I say the same, to do it the same way that he did it before. because he is a strategic guy. He moves strategically. He moves in timing. And just because you think that it's your time to get something or your time to get blessed or it's your opportunity, God may be saying, now is not the time right now, but there is a specific time that I want to bless you. It is a specific opportunity that I want to give to you. So guess what? I want for you all during this season to ask God to give you new eyes to see the new opportunities that are coming your way. Because there are times that we may be blind and we just can't see what God sees. So ask God to give you new eyes to see the opportunities that are coming your way, because God has a plan for your life, and you don't want to be outside of the wheel of his plan. Ask him to provide you with mental, spiritual, and emotional capacity to handle the opposition. And I'm glad that that young man was in my life today, because if he wasn't, I know that I probably would have been in a despair state a little bit longer than I anticipated. So because he asked me that question, God was in him at that right time, in that right moment that I needed to understand or even open my eyes to see that now was that this time was not the time. But there will be many opportunities. There will be many moments in our lives that God is going to flourish us with everything that we've asked for. But just know that his plan is the best plan that you can ever have in your life, because God knows your capacity. God never places more on you than you can bear. And he knows your strength and your weaknesses. That's why he tells us to cast all our cares upon him, because sometimes we just may not be able to handle what we think we can handle or what we've prayed for. And I love this passage by Muhammad Ali. He says, only a man who knows what it is like to be defeated can reach down to the bottom of his soul and come up with the extra ounce of power it takes to win. This is your winning season. This is not a season to where we just buckle up and break down, but we're going to grasp whatever power we have that's left, and we're going to hold on to God's word, because God's word works. God's word stands. And if you know anything about the word of God, even if you don't, say that one thing, God help me. Because in that one phrase, God, I need your help, or God help me, he knows your heart. He knows that you're giving it over to him to make sure that everything stays intact. I love another passage of the Bible. It says in Isaiah 43 and 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall it not? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Sometimes we may think that we're going through something and just can't get out of it. But that's when God is showing you the capacity that he has already placed inside of you. He just wants you to tap in, like Muhammad Ali, from the bottom of your soul and bring out that talent, bring out that gift, bring out that song, bring out that book, because he knows that it is already in you. So one thing I want you all to learn from this, that I learned today, is that God is always in control. God always have a ram in the bush. And never give up, because God knows what's best for you. I love you all. This is your girl, Monique in Powers. I am a spiritual, I am a professional, and I am a life coach. And I would love to do business with you, because guess what? I do business with God.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Such stirring, profound, and encouraging words from this awesome woman of God. We are looking forward to you returning so that you can discuss with us your book, which is entitled Broken, Shattered, Yet Chosen. Can you just briefly share how my listeners can add this wonderful literary piece to their library so that when you come back and we are able to discuss your book at length and your testimony, that they will already have started reading, if not having completed? Where can my listeners get a copy of your book, Woman of God?
Broken, Shattered, Yet Chosen on Amazon.com. And I also have a website. You can go to Monique Empowers with an S. I'll spell it out for you. It's MONIQUEEMPOWERS.com.
Amen. Amen. You have blessed us, woman of God. We are looking forward to you returning so that we can sit down and discuss some spiritual principles that's going to help us be better, live better, and do more for God while we have the chance to do so. I don't want to get to heaven and talk about I woulda, shoulda, coulda, because that ain't going to do us no good. Thank you, woman of God. Bless you. We pray God continue to keep you, cover you, and do great and mighty things in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's woman of God. Y'all better recognize gifted people. Monique E. Russell was here, and she blessed my heart. I know she blessed yours, too. Lord have mercy. Amen. So listen. If you want to be a special guest for Word of Inspiration, or if you have a talent and a calling and you want to be in my Shine Artist Spotlight, I want you to get in touch with me, Ron E. Jefferson, right there on Facebook. Send me a message or send me an email, ronaldjefferson1@aol.com, and you can certainly give me a call at 870-413-0220, because we are so hyped for Jesus. We love God, and we are not ashamed to declare the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Goes right there. But sometimes you got to do like the fabulous praise singers about to tell us through their song. You got to tell that old devil, that rascal, you got to move, Satan, because I got work to do for Jesus.
Yeah. Cause I love Jesus. Cause I love Jesus. Yeah, I give back.
Hello, I'm Sandra Gray of the Wings of Praise, and you are listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience, where the fire is a moving, uplifting, unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I pray that our music fill my cup and grateful will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Keep it tuned in and bless your family and friends and coworkers by telling them about fire on this station.
Fill my cup.
Let it overflow.
Lord, fill my cup.
Let it overflow.
Lord, fill my cup. Some of you might think that I'm being greedy, but if my cup overflows, it'll flow right out to you. Well,
fill my cup,
let it
overflow.
Lord, fill my cup,
let it overflow.
Lord, fill my cup, Lord.
Fill my cup.
Let
fill me, Lord. Will you just fill me, Lord? Fill me, fill me. I got the cup you blessed me with. Now I'm just asking you to just fill me up, Lord, with all the good things that you have required for me to do so that I can be about the business of glorifying your precious and holy name. Amen. I don't want my living to be in vain. I don't think you all do either. Sounds of Wings of Praise with Sandra Gray, filling our cup, Lord. We are embracing for our spiritual uplift from the book of Psalms, the 16th division of Psalms. Amen. Goes right there. We are going to share about I say and I will. Now, y'all know what that means. The word of God says from the NIV, Psalms 16 and 1, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing, verse 2. And verse 4 says, I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Verse 7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And then verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that we've all heard and probably have said the old saying, to say what you mean and mean what you say, which means to speak what you speak with a bona fide and credible substance. We've all had our feel of that fluffy stuff that sounds so good, usually more to the speaker than to us, the hearers, that it just tickles the ears, but for some reason, rarely ever gets off the ground. Now, the psalmist bears witness of speaking words that are empowered by the corroborating action that always carries the weight of authenticity. Psalm 16 and 1 again says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. What we say has to come from a place of confirmed confidence in order to be effective. The psalmist goes straight to our eternal source, who is God Almighty. He puts his focus of heart and soul on the altar of God alone. He knows, as we all should, that God is our forever keeper, the only place to go, and know that we will be safe to do whatever assignment comes next that our God directs us. Now that we have this firm foundation and footing that our God dwells with us, we are prepared to speak to God and pour out our soul's expression of praise. I say to the Lord, Psalm 16 and 2, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. It has taken many believers some accumulated time and life experience to be humbled to realize that God is everything. Everything that we need, want, and desire are all wrapped up into the words of the psalmist. We move from beyond our expected church protocol and presentation in these intimate times with God. We can agree with the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Rome, for I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Romans 7 and 18. So we cry out more and more for God's grace and mercy to cover us, complete in us the good things that he has already predestined for us to obtain through our faith. Yet we say, Psalm 16 and 4 says, I will not pour out libations of blood to such God. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. When we are committed to say what we mean, that we can see what we mean collectively together, we tend to brag and boast of our perceived virtuous and religious ways at times, but we also need to be committed to things that we don't do, refuse to do. And this is another reason that we ask God to keep us safe and take refuge in Him, because we know that alone and by ourselves that we are not able to restrain and maintain without God's help. The psalmist is saying that he and we shall not compromise and follow the crowd of majority just to fit in and be accepted, as well as being willing to say. The psalmist insists, beloved, that there are things that we will not say. Cursing, gossip, backbiting, and whatever we would not speak in church or in the presence of other fellow believers. My elder used to say that if you can't speak it twice, then you shouldn't have said it the first time. Psalms 16 and 7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. What we say should always seek ways to be manifested, to come alive. Like our elders used to say, grow some feet and legs and do some walking. We need always have a mind of immediate access with God in prayer, meditation, and praise. There's always something that we could, should, and can give God praise for. Be mindful then when our trials, tribulations, and troubles come, because they will come. The Bible declares they that live righteous shall suffer persecution. And the devil brings these seasons to distract our intimacies with God. The devil hate fuses him. He can't understand why we praise whenever we go through hard times and seasons. He still hasn't learned his lessons from our elder brother Job. That rascal just will not learn. But we continue on knowing that God is a keeper. So we say because we will. Job 1 and 21 says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord God gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And those tough and trying times are the most intimate, as the Lord God himself leads, guides, and instructs our hearts, fulfilling his precious promise. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then finally, Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence and eternal pleasures at your right hand. As the Mighty One bears witness to what we say and what we will comes together, he pours out his rewards and blessings in the here and now. We don't have to wait to be immensely blessed by God. He wants to bless us abundantly, as evidence that our service and our labors are not in vain. So he says, and he does also. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you say and do shall be added unto you. I had to add that part in there because I know God is a giving God, and he wants us to follow his example. And as he continues to give us his best, he wants us to always be about the business of giving him our very best. Amen. Goes right there. I want to thank my special guest, man of God, Escalaria LeSure, preacher, pastor, gospel artist from that amazing old school group, the Christian Brothers. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing so much profound and powerful words of encouragement. You blessed us. You brought scriptures. You brought a biblical mindset. We bless you. Woman of God, Monique Russell, thank you for those very enlightening, inspiring, encouraging words and word of inspiration. I will leave you all with this final word. Waiting. We contemplate. So we pray. God answers and we hear. Now, what you waiting for? Amen. I pray God will bless you, keep you, cover you, as I leave you all with man of God, Brian Dunlap, and one purpose, letting us know that if you're willing, God is certainly able. Amen. Isn't that good to know? Until next time, y'all be blessed in Jesus. I thank God for each and every one of you. I pray you continue to grow in the mercy and the knowledge and the grace of God our Father, Messiah, Savior Jesus, and Holy Spirit God. Until next time, shalom, peace be unto you and yours. Hallelujah, God. Thank you.
Share the bill of so it is my life.